Tessein Elul, Thursday the 22nd of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golker, the case of the poison sandwich. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Stein.
Good morning. Doctor.
Okay. This morning's topic, the case of the poison sandwich, is a fascinating topic which I stumbled across some months ago. And it involves a true story that happened many years ago, but came to light about 12 or 13 years ago. Let me tell you the facts of the case. It's a true story. It happened in a non-Jewish school involving a non-Jewish kid, a non-Jewish student. And these are the facts. There was a young boy. A teenager who was being bullied in school. And he was being bullied by a group of people who were tormenting him. And as part of the bullying, one of the things that they did was that they would break into the boy's locker. And they would break into his locker, and every day they would steal his sandwich. His mom had prepared him a sandwich for lunch, and they broke into his locker, they stole his sandwich, and that was part of the bullying that this boy never experienced. Now, this young man, of course, it's a terrible situation to never be bullied, and he decided he's going to do something about it. So what did he do? He happened to be a chemistry major. His area, his subject was chemistry. So he went to the laboratory, and he got hold of some poison. And he laced his sandwich with poison. And sure enough, that afternoon, in the middle of the chemistry lesson, all of a sudden, one of the classmates started holding his stomach. And then he started getting worse. And he was rolling on the floor in pain, writhing in agony. And suddenly the boy who was being bullied, got up and said, "See, it was you! You stole my sandwich!"
I didn't know it was.
"You stole my sandwich!" He was a group of boys, but he didn't know exactly which one had stolen his sandwich. He said, "It was you." And he said, "You caused me so much pain, so much anguish. And he was there. He had won. He then said to this boy on the floor, the guy who was bullying him, he said, "Do you promise never ever to do it again?" So he goes, "Yeah." And the guy was in terrible pain. And he was a thoughtful young man, because he takes out a test tube. And in the test tube, he had created an antidote to the poison which he had laced his sandwich with. And he said, "If you promise never ever to bully me again, then I'll give you this antidote. Did you promise?" And he's lying, writhing on the floor. "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he gives him the antidote, and the kid gets better. Now, that's a true story that happened. The way the post can bring it down, that after this incident, he was a bit of a socially awkward young man. But after this incident, the way they describe it is Ola Kechovoy. His star rose. He became the king of the school. He was a cool kid in the school, and his fortune changed. One of the students in the school who witnessed this happened to be a Jewish boy who later made Aliyah and became a doctor and used to attend the shiurim of the famous Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, the son-in-law of Rabbi Muhammad Rabbi Yashin. And he gives these famous shiurim in Bnei Brak, and he's written many sfarim. And he asked Rabbi Zilberstein, "Madinah, what would be the halach in such a situation? If the situation repeated itself, unusual facts, but if they were to repeat themselves, is it mutter for a person who is being bullied to take this sort of action, to lace his sandwich with poison, in order to thwart his perpetrator, to try and stop the bullying?" Now, if you think, okay, let me just take, I'm just curious. Let's have a show of hands. Who thinks that it's mutter for the boy to take the action that he took? He had the antidote, so assuming he's a good student, it would be okay. So minor damage, minimal harm is okay. Yeah. Are there anyone who says that it's wrong for the person to do it? Okay, what's this far?
There's no of punishing a person in that way. And therefore, you will not do it.
Okay. Okay. There's no. On the other hand, this is his own sandwich. If I want to put tuna on it, or I want to put egg on it, or I want to put arsenic on it, my choice.
Is it a problem of autonomy? Yeah.
Is it revenge? I don't think it's a problem of revenge. If someone is, for example, if someone is running after you, and if, for example, in a battle situation, and you know, and he hits you, and you want to hit, you know, in a situation of a road death, you can. There's no revenge there. It's self-defense. Yeah. Sorry? Is it a mitzvah or is it self-defense?
So
is that a problem? Is that a problem? If someone is bullying me, can I not say a trap? Okay. Let's move on. I was just curious to know, but it seems that the okay, we've got a range of opinions. But to think, don't think just by the way that the facts are limited to this very unusual case. You can broaden the scope of this shaila. For example, are you allowed to booby trap your own home if you think that you've got some sort of burglars? There was a case in Eretz Yisrael, a true case, where there was a spate of burglaries in an apartment building. Imagine an Israeli apartment building where you go into the main entrance, and then you've got apartments on each side, and going up four levels. So you've got eight apartments. And many times in Israel, the front door is locked, but the actual apartment building, the doors inside the apartment block are kept open. And there was a spate of burglaries, and it happened repeatedly. And they couldn't figure out how the gunner was getting in. And so they realized that he was coming in from the roof, and at the very top there was a washing line. And he basically jumped, it was quite a jump, he jumped from the roof onto the washing line, and then he sort of landed onto the corridor, and then he was inside the building, and many of the houses were open, so he would, and that's how he got it. So the guy on the top floor came up with a good idea. There were wires going across, laundry wires. He basically weakened them, so they were still there. And sure enough, a few days later, they heard 3 o'clock in the morning, they heard this crash and this screaming, and the guy had jumped in, and instead of cushioning his fall on the laundry wires and falling on his side, he basically just dropped all the way, and he was the bottom there. He didn't die, but he was in, and they found the burglar. Is that allowed? Let me think of another situation. Imagine you've got a shed in the back of your garden, and you keep there, you keep your extra bottles of whiskey. And suddenly you come along, and you see that the whiskey is diminishing. And you're not going, someone is coming along and helping themselves to your whiskey. Are you allowed to take one bottle of whiskey and empty your Glenfiddich into another bottle and put bleach in it? And that way you feel that this fellow will not come back too quickly. Are you allowed to? It's the same sort of shaila. That's the shaila. Yeah, there's a question. Oh, we're going to come to it. It's a medrash. We're going to come to it. Okay. So, let me tell you. This fellow, this doctor who was in the shir at the time, went to Reb Zilberstein and said, Madina, what's the halacha? So Reb Zilberstein sat with him, discussed it with him, and he came up with an amazing thing. He said that not only is it mutter for this young man to take the action that he did to lace his sandwich with poison, but it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do it. What's the mitzvah? So Gemara says, Haliteyu l'rasha v'yomus, which literally means, let the rasha hang and die. Now that's a reference to Neter Avoy, which means, Neter Avoy, we know that the first 3 years it's orla, you can't eat it, the fourth year the fruit you can eat. But there are limitations, you've got to eat it in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. What if you've got some crop, and it's your Neter Avoy field, and you've got a guy who's coming in and stealing your crop? Do you have to put a little sign up saying Neter Avoy? Because he's stealing and he's being over the Issa of Lo Sigzo, Lo Signo, etc., etc. But in addition, he happens to be eating stuff that he can't eat. So do you have an obligation to warn the gun of, listen here, my friend, you're better off going to the field next door because his crop is 5th and 6th year stuff and mine is 4th year and you can't eat it? Says the Gemara, Haliteyo L'Rosha V'Yomis, let the Rosha hang and die. Not your problem. Okay? So says Rav Zilberstein, it was mutzah for the young man to lace his sandwich. It's not only is it mutzah, it's a mitzvah. Fine. Now, this psak was recorded in a Torah journal called Pa'amoni Zohar, which is popular in Bnei Brak, and it was recorded 12 or 13 years ago. The next... Yeah, sorry.
Would Rav Zilberstein allow him to do that even without the antidote? In other words, let the guy die?
I the svara of Zilberstein said was that, like you said, that it's my sandwich. It's my property. I can do what I want. It's not my problem what the consequences are. But we'll see. We're going to discuss this a little bit further. It could be there's a chilul. It could be that to kill a person, that's already actually cut off. Okay. Now, in the next journal of this Pamuni Zohov, this caused a big tumult in Bnei Brak. And the next journal, all the articles were about this case of the poison sandwich, and there were 5 or 6 articles written by very prominent Rosh Yeshiva and Talmid Chachamim, all criticizing the psak of Rabbi Zilberstein. How can you say it's mutter? Mutter? Mitzah? And they brought, each one brought different riots attacking him. So let's go through some of the kashas that they asked on him, and we'll see the defenses that Rabbi Zilberstein brought. The first case is a Mishnah in Baba Kama. Now, let me give you some background to the Mishnah. I'll give you a case which perhaps can make it a little bit more easy to get our head around. Imagine you owned a fruit shop. Okay? Now, if you had a fruit shop, come Monday morning, you've got to go off to the market very, very early in the morning. So let's say you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you go off to the market, and you go and you buy your stock for the next few days. You come back, let's say at 7 o'clock in the morning. The shop is not opening till 8. You say, I've got a great idea. I'm going to go down to Shachris now, and then I'll finish Shachris in time to be ready to open the shop at 8 o'clock. But what are you going to do with your crates and crates of tomatoes? So I've got a good idea. I can't just leave them in the street. Someone will pinch them. So what I'll do is, you're on Goldestein Road, you go into someone's front garden, and you open the gate, you go into the front garden, and you leave the 10 crates of tomatoes, you leave them there in the front garden. Fine. You go down to Shachris, and then you come back, and you're in for a big surprise. They're not all gone, they're half gone, and half eaten, and next to the crates of sandwiches with a mess of red and everything, there's a dog who is dead. Because he has overeaten tomatoes, death by tomatoes. Right? He has overeaten tomatoes, and you have therefore, indirectly, have killed the dog. Then there is an even scarier sight. There is a scarier sight because there is a lady running from the house down her front garden with a rolling pin. And you've killed my dog! You've killed my dog! So what do you, what are you going to answer? You're going to answer, killed your dog? You've eaten my sandwiches. You've eaten my tomatoes. You owe me money. This cost me a lot of money, these tomatoes.
You have no right to put it in the car.
Oh, okay. I have no right to put it there. Good, good. This is a mission in Baba Kama. What I've just described to you is a mission in Baba Kama. Take a look at paragraph 3 of your handout. It says the mission in Baba Kama. Hichnis heyosov lechotze balabais. If you put your fruit into someone else's chotze, shelo brishus, without permission, and the animal of the owner of that chotzer eats the fruit, the owner of the animal is not liable for damages. I.e., you have got no taina, you ate my tomatoes, can you give me the money? Potter. However, if the animal was damaged by the fruit that you left there without rishus, balapeiros is chayev. The owner of the fruit, me, I'm chayav, I've got to pay. That's what the Mishnah says. Fine. The Gemara qualifies this in a very significant way. Take a look at the next line. Omer Rav, says Rav in the Gemara there, lo yishonu ela shehuch l'kabohen. When do they say that I'm chayav to pay for damage to this animal? Only if the animal damaged directly, he slipped on the fruit. Avol ochlo, but if he ate the fruit, potter. My timer, what is the reason? The animal shouldn't have eaten it. The way they explain the Gemara is this, that it's in a classic example of groma. I didn't directly damage the animal. I left my fruit there. The animal chose to eat the fruit and died as an indirect result of my action. So that's groma, and groma that a zik in his potter is an indirect action. Huh? Say so again? Why?
It does not overeat the dog.
Okay, so another animal. Say that. So, Rabbi Isai, they bring this Gemara as a kash on the Zilberstein. Why? Because the Gemara says The Gemara carries on and says that in the case where you leave your fruit there and the animal of this Bal HaChotzer eats and damages himself or dies, that you're chayav if it was direct damage and you're potter for indirect damage. But the Gemara carries on and says, yes, you're potter, but the Gemara says, you're potter middinei Adam, v'chayav b'dei shamayim. You may be potter if this lady takes me to Beis Din and said, listen, my animal costs hundreds of pounds, pay up. And I showed him this Gemara and Baba Kama, and the Dayonim will paskan, I'm afraid you're his potter. Because it's indirect, it's Groma ben Azik, and you're potter. But b'dei shamayim, you're chayav. B'dei shamayim, there is a heavenly liability that after 120 years, you'll be held responsible for that action. Fine, that's what Gemara says. Say the critique, the critics of Rabbi Zilberstein, they say it's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Mefurish Gemara. How can you say that a boy can lace his sandwich with poison? True, you're potter for any damage caused. Maybe he had to go to hospital, maybe he messed up his exams, maybe there were medical bills, who knows what. But one sec. But surely, that there is a chiyuv b'dei shamayim. Okay, you're potter from paying the medical bills, but there is a chiyuv b'dei shamayim. So they ask for resolution. How can you say it's mutter? And a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv b'dei shamayim, the Gemara says. So how would Reb Zilberstein defend himself? There's a big difference. I mean, what's the big difference?
I give you a sandwich to eat. Have a sandwich. You're okay.
So the truth is, there are many chilukim, but the two key chilukim, the key differences between the case are written on the sheet. Number one, there's only a chiyuv b'dei shamayim if the animal has a right to be present in that chotzer. That animal had a right to be present in that chotzer. Okay, habadei shalei seicha, but he had a right to be there. So there, the shamayim's right can impose a chiyuv. They can say, listen, you're chayuv b'dei shamayim. But this guy had no right to be in my locker. It's my locker. So he had no. He's a ganav. He stole it. He had no right to be there. Number two, there's a difference. One's an animal, one's a human being. The animal, he's got animal instincts. Okay, havalei shalei seichel, but he shouldn't have eaten. But the ganav, he's a baradas, he chose to break into my locker, to steal my sandwich, to bully me. So therefore there's no chiyuv b'dei shamayim for that. So that's how Zilberstein defended his son. Okay, fine. They asked him, but are you not responsible for any unforeseen consequence? In other words, okay, you're allowed to lace your sandwich. You're allowed to put what you want in your locker. That was the underlying rationale of Zilberstein. It's my property. I can do what I want with it. But do you not have to be choshesh that maybe there may be some sort of strange consequence to your action that could lead to a very untoward result? Do you have to be choshesh for that? So he brings a very, very interesting raya that you do not have to be choshesh for it. What's the right? Take a look at the right. Look at this right. So Gemara in Numa. Take a look at paragraph 5c. A fascinating right. A famous Gemara, and it's brought for rights for different things, but Reb Zilberstein brings it for this case, for this point. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Gemara in Numa, pay Gimel on the base. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Three Tanoim. Have a ka'ozli ba'urcha, they were going on the way. They were traveling. Rabbi Meir have a daik bishma. Rabbi Meir had this ability, so when he heard a name, he could infer from the name a lot about your characteristic, your character. Have a daik bishma. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, they have a daik bishma. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, they didn't engage in this practice. They didn't know how to, or they just didn't do it. Kimotu lahu duchta, when they arrived at their destination, bo ushbiza, they looked for lodging. Yovule, and they stayed in a certain inn. Omrulos, they said to the innkeeper, Mashmecha, what's your name? Omrulahu, so he said to them, Kidur, my name is Kidur. Omar, so Reb Meir said to himself, Shma mino odem roshahu. This guy is a wicked person. Why? The name Kidur, it smells funny to me. Why? Shneemar, because it says in the pasuk in Hazinu, Kidur tapuches heimo, which means, Klal Yisrael, they're a volatile nation. They're changeable. It's a negative criticism of Klal Yisrael. Kidur tapuches heimo, Kidur, it reminds me of that pasuk, I don't trust this guy. Kidur. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Ashlimu le Kisayu. So the practice was in those days, when you stayed in the inn, there were no credit cards, whatever, you would give your money purse to the innkeeper. He would look after it for you. And when you move on, he would give it back to you. So Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda gave their passes to the innkeeper, Kidur. But Rameh, Leyashnik, he said, he didn't trust this fellow. I'm not giving you my purse. Lemachar, the following morning, Amrulei, they said to him, Havlon Kison, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi said, we're moving on now, can we have our purses back? Amaluhu, he said to them, Lohoy Dvar Oilim. What purses? What are you talking about? Amaluhu Rameh, so Rameh said to them, Amailu Diakta Bishmo, you should have been Medayak in his name. His name is Kidur, he's a fishy fellow. Amrulei, Amailu Amrastalma, why do you tell us? You should have told us, you should have warned us. Amaluhu, Eimed Omri, Ana Chashosh, Achzukim, Mi Omri. I was choishish, I can't be sure for certain. Okay. Now, they wanted to get their money back. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi came up with a very cunning plan to get their money back. Moshchu v'alu lechanusa. They went to his shop. And they saw that Kidur had lentils around his mouth. So they came up with a very clever idea. Ozdu v'yavu simon l'tveseo. They went back to his wife. They went back to the representative, Kidur's wife. And they said, listen, we want our money, our purses back. And they said, what's the... I want money. She said, no, you haven't given us the code. The code is, we had lentils for breakfast. He had lentils for breakfast. She went and got the purses and gave them back to him. And they took their purses and they went off. Kidur later comes home. Ozel Ihu, he comes home. How's your day, darling? Yeah, very good. By the way, I got the message, I gave them their purses. What purses? Review the race, I gave them their purses back. Ozel Ihu, the cotton, it's a say. He was so infuriated, he killed his wife. Says the Gemara, Shema Mino, we derive from there. Says the Gemara, but it's always good to have bran flakes for breakfast. No. Says the Gemara, that the Gemara derives, you should do my machronim. Because when you wash your hands, you wash people do my machronim, they wipe their mouth. So they wipe away any remnants, you're not going to know what the guy has for breakfast. That's what the Gemara derives from there. Okay. Reb Zilberstein derives from there another lesson. And that is this, that did Rabbi Yosi and Yehuda, when they get their purses back, shouldn't they be worried that maybe Mr. Kidur is going to come back and is going to go crazy and become infuriated and who knows what's going to happen? And sure enough, it did happen. Do they not have to be choshish for that? Says Rabbi Zilberstein, you've got to do, if it's your property, you can do what you need to do and let the chips fall where they fall. That's not the problem. That's this right? Okay. Are there any riots for exhausting? Are there any positive riots? So this is something you mentioned before. I haven't got this on the sheet, but I'll read it to you. A very, very interesting case involves from the Meseches Derech Eretz Rabbah in Perek Hay. Says Chazal, Lo'olam yiyu kol b'nei adam chashuvin l'vanecho kelistim. Any guest that you have, treat him as if he's a gamut. V'havim chabdan kribin gamliel. But on the other hand, you should honor them. How so? Umaisa b'Rabbi Yeshua. There was an incident with Rabbi Yeshua. Shehishkim etzlei odom. A guest came to him. V'nosim le'achila v'shtia. And he gave him supper. He gave him to eat and to drink. V'heliu le'gag l'ishkav. And he wanted to retire for the night. So he had an attic. And he climbed up the stairs and he slept in the attic. V'notal sulam mitachta. But Rabbi Yeshua was choshesh. He doesn't know this guy. He gets a cool air of Shabbos. The guy just suddenly stays in his house. I don't know him. So I'm going to stay in my house, but I've got to be choishish. So he takes away the ladder, but there's no way down, but he can't steal all the stuff in the attic and then run away in the middle of the night. What happened? What did this guy do? Sure enough, he gets up in the middle of the night. And he takes all the kelim, Rabbi Yeshua's kelim, and he puts it in his bag saying, loot. Given shebikesh leirid, and then he wants to get down. Not for minagag v'nishbar mafraktoi, and he comes down. Ladder's not there. He falls and he breaks his neck. L'shachris hishkin Rishu. In the morning, Rishu wakes up. A bo motzu kashul neifel, and he sees this guy on the floor with a bag of all his goodies next to him. Amaloi reikach kach oisin bnei odm shekamoischo. This is how you behave. I give you hospitality, and this is how you behave. Amaloi Rebbe, lo yisir deh shenof des asur mitachta. I didn't know you took away the ladder. We were worried about you. You're going to honor them, but just be choshesh. That's what the Gemara says. Says Rabbi Zilberstein, it's a good ride. You're choshesh that someone is taking your property, take away the ladder. You can do this, no problem. is a good raya. Who can think, what's the counter argument to that? How can the, on the other side, how can they say, no, it's not a good raya? Yeah, what would you say?
You need to get up and make people do something.
Okay.
He wouldn't check whether the ladder's there.
He's not going to think it's poisonous. Oh, very good. Well, Mr. B, what were you going to say? You wanted to say something?
I was going to say there's no acceptable practice because although it might be grammatically correct, there are so many arguments against it that.
To take away the ladder?
To harm her, to do what
you did. Nothing wrong.
Okay.
Okay,
this, but there are cases, we're not talking about managing, we're talking about a straightforward case of bullying. What, Mr. Hosen, what would you say?
I would say, in one case, there is a hashash maybe, and there's a good argument that can't come down.
Right.
In the other case, we know he's going to do something, right.
That's right. In other words, what you're saying, I think, is this. They would say that's not a raya. Because in the case of Rabbi Yeshua, it's preventative measure that if he were to steal, and then he's about to get down, he would look down. A normal burglar would see if the ladder's there, and would take. And if the ladder's gone, he wouldn't come down, and therefore his plan would be thwarted. But in the case of the burglary, would a bully have to be choishesh that this guy, that he's bullying, has laced the sandwich? Would he open it up and say, oh my gosh, has he put something in? Now you could say, yes, he's a chemistry student, maybe yes. You could argue it's a form of paranoia to check that it's really tuna inside your sandwich. That's you can see that there's an argument whether or not this is a riot.
There's no sausage and dumping got anything to do with this, so you must make a hazard in your own home.
Oh, so, fine. Okay, so let me move on to one final point, because we're out of time in 1 minute. I think that will answer your question. What about there's a possible salmon by Damri Echo? So I understand that it's your property, says the Pesach, and you can do what you want with your property. But there is a law in the Torah, Lo Samad, which means that if you're walking past a river, and you see someone is struggling, is drowning in the river, you have a halachic obligation, so long as it doesn't, if you can swim and it doesn't endanger you, there's a discussion, of course, about that, but you've got to go in and you've got to do something about it. Lo Samad Adam Re'echa. So, surely, how can you lace your sandwich with poison, and then see this guy writhe in agony on the floor? How can you do that? Surely there's a law of Lo Samad Adam Re'echa. If you've got an obligation to save someone, then how can you go ahead and injure the person? Doesn't it contradict the law of Lo Samad?
You have to save him. He could save him.
So with the antidote. The point, I think, is this. The point is that Lo Samad does not apply to a repeated burglar. If he's got to deal with a mumala hachis.
You don't know that.
What?
We don't know.
This fellow knew that the guy who every day had his sandwich stolen. He had his sandwich. Oh, the guy. Okay, so that was a chashash, but that was he took away the ladder as a preventative precautionary measure.
Okay, he may kill him accidentally as well.
But is that reasonable? He's got to look to see before he comes down.
He's got cycle, right?
He's asleep.
He's got cycle, right?
He's been up for an hour. He's been putting all the stuff in his palace.
He's got cycle.
Okay, so maybe there were facilities upstairs. Okay, Rabbi says, nine. Let me just summarize in 1 minute what we've discussed. We discussed the case, a true story, the case of the poison sandwich, which came to the desk of Rabbi Zilberstein, and he paskened that not only is it mutter for this young man to lace his sandwich, it's a mitzvah, halitayon arash of the yomis, which, by the way, is not necessarily a raya for Rabbi Zilberstein, because the case of netzer avoy, all you're doing over there, you want to minimize the aveira. It's not necessary. It doesn't give you permission to actually go and injure this person. Okay, but they ask the kasha from the Gemara Baba Kama, the chiyuv b'dei shemayim. So how can you say that it's a mitzvah to do it? So he defended himself by saying there's two different chilukim. Number one, that the animal's got a right to be there. Number two, this human being is a bardas. He's chosen to break into this locker. So he deflected that riot. What about any untoward result? We see from the case of Kidur, I don't have to worry about that. That's not my problem. What about the Samoids? We're not worried about that. That's a Mumma Lahakis, that's a repeated burglar. We're not worried about that. There are many, many other issues, a massive topic, but we've just touched the surface. But you can see it's a fascinating case. Thank you for your attention.